Welcome to the podcast of the First Presbyterian Church of Englewood, a community committed to live boldly, share boundlessly, grow community, and build God's world. Please visit us in person or at englewoodpres.org.
Our gospel lesson today is taken from the gospel according to Luke, chapter 12, verses 32 through 40. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. This is the word of the Lord. Well, I don't know how many of you remember, they seem to have faded away, the heyday of 900 numbers. Remember those when those were around? I'm not going to ask, actually, how many of you ever called a 900 number. But if you remember those things about that were really popular about 15 years ago, there was a celebrity obituary that came through about a week ago, and it was sad because she was far too young to have passed away, but Miss Cleo died. And I don't know if you remember the ads for Miss Cleo, especially if you are a person like me who is up in the wee hours of the night. If you're watching an obscure cable channel at 2 in the morning, there would be ads for Miss Cleo. She was a psychic. And she ran these 900-number psychic lines and made an absolute fortune doing this. Now, I was always fascinated by the phenomenon of 900-number psychic lines, of the need of people. Clearly, there were hundreds of thousands or millions of people who felt this need to call a telephone line and have this random person on the other end tell them what was going to happen. But I think it speaks to this fundamental need that people have to try and think that their future is going to be predictable. People want to know what's going to happen. They have a very deep-seated need to believe that all of the randomness, all of the chance that appears to be out there in life is something that they can avoid. So they would love to be able to avoid all the things that just crop up. Now, in our passage today, Jesus gives us a series of metaphors, and in fact, he gives us a metaphor about selling your possessions. He says, sell your possessions, and that's something that would be pretty scary for us. It would create a lot of uncertainty in our lives. A great deal of what we do around our material wealth has to do with attempting to eliminate unpredictability. Then he talks about slaves being ready for when their master comes home, because you never know when that's going to be and you need to be ready. And then absolutely out of nowhere, he says, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, wait a second, when were you talking about burglary, Jesus? There was nothing in here where he was talking about burglary. Suddenly, out of nowhere comes this example of if you had known when the burglar was coming, you would have been ready. How many of you have ever been burglarized? If you had known what time the thief would have been coming, all right, you would have been ready. Upsetting thing. If you've ever been burglarized, you know someone who has. I mean, it's such an incredible violation of the person. It does come out of nowhere. Nobody leaves their house thinking tonight's the night that I'm going to get hit. And so it's a huge disruption to what's going on. But Jesus is basically telling us in these different examples, these very disparate examples that he gives, that you don't know what's going to happen and you don't know when it's going to happen. And instead, he says, you have to be ready. You have to be ready because whatever it is that's going to be, it's going to come at an unexpected hour. And so he uses this metaphor. He starts saying that you need to be dressed. Okay, I mean, we've all had the experience, right, of getting that phone call in the middle of the night, and you are absolutely unable to do anything until you first get dressed. And so he's saying that before we are able to respond to those things that come up, we should be dressed for them so that we are able to be ready to take action. But the thing about it is that being ready is a very interesting concept. See, we like to think that we get ready in ways that are different from the way Jesus tells us we need to be ready. At the very beginning of the passage, when Jesus was talking about our wealth, he says, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And that's a famous verse. People have heard that many, many times. But it's a verse that needs to stay fixed in your brain, because it gives you a very good and counterintuitive picture of what it means to get your life ready for what the future needs to be. See, most people think that if my heart is in the right place, I mean, that's what we all say, well, his heart's in the right place, her heart's in the right place. We believe that if we put our heart in the right place, then eventually everything in our lives is going to follow. If we put our heart in the right place, pretty soon our money is going to go where our heart is. Our time is going to go where our heart is. We think that somehow we've put our heart out there, and then the rest of our lives will somehow drift over and coalesce around where our heart is located. And Jesus is saying very clearly, that's backwards. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is going to be. That if you want to set up your life so that you're moving in the direction that you want it to go, it's where you're putting your treasure, which doesn't have to be material goods. You know, for a lot of us, time is more valuable in our lives than money. But whatever it is, whatever your treasure is, that Jesus is telling us that whatever location, wherever area in the world you put your treasure, your heart is eventually going to follow. And so if we want to be ready for the future, if we want to be ready for whatever life is going to throw at us, if we think we need to be anchored properly, what we need to begin doing is anchor our treasure, anchor our time, anchor our goods, anchor the things, you know, our energy. We need to anchor those things where it's important. And then our heart will follow. I think we notice this in a lot of things in our life. That we have to first decide that this is where we're going to do something, and then we start to love it. Exercise. I keep coming back to that. You know, you hate it. You decide you're going to do it. You hate it. And eventually your heart ends up there. I think I haven't gotten there yet. But that's the direction you need to go. You see, ultimately, if you do this, if you're prepared, if you're dressed, if your things are positioned properly, then when the unexpected comes, you're in the position to be able to act. See, Jesus didn't just say be dressed so that, you know, you'll be decent when the authorities arrive or something like that. This wasn't be dressed as in your mom saying wear clean underwear in case you have an accident. I think we all had our mothers say that. This is be dressed for action. The point of the preparation is so that you are in a position to be able to act and respond to the situation that arises. So you don't know what it's going to be, right? Jesus gave us a bunch of examples of different things. You don't know what it's going to be. You don't know what's going to come up in your life, and you don't know when it's going to be. So we can't tell you what, and we can't tell you when, but we can tell you to be prepared. Now, for a lot of us, we think that the word prepared means insulation from the effects. All right, so I think, let me explain that. For a lot of us, we think that what it means to be prepared for something is to have insulated us against what it might be. So sometimes that works. Dave Ramsey, Financial Peace University, first thing he tells you is get an emergency fund together, all right, so that you can insulate yourself against a financial setback by having money. Okay, that works for that one particular thing. But most of the things that are going to happen in life, because of the very nature of their unpredictability, are things where we can't actually insulate ourselves against them. We can only insulate ourselves against the kinds of setbacks, the kind of unpredictability that we can guess is going to happen. If we can foresee that there are circumstances that are going to come, then we can take the step of trying to insulate ourselves against it. But when you are in a life, in a world that Jesus is warning about, where the things that happen are not necessarily going to be predictable, then what is preparation? How do you prepare for the complete unknown? And that's where Jesus is pointing us toward the power of faith. See, the power of faith in our lives is to understand that we have the ability to respond to what's going to happen without knowing what that actually is. The power of faith is understanding that we have a strength and a power through God that will see us through. And that faith has to be there before the event happens. Deals so many times with families for whom setback happens, tragedy happens, and then they reach out for faith, and it's too late. The time for the person to understand that God doesn't care whether you are a winner or a loser is before you hit the losing streak. It's not to go through it, not to go through that terrible patch in life and then sit there wondering, does God love me? The time to understand that there is life after death, that there is an eternity with God awaiting us, is before your loved one dies. This is preparation. When we work on our faith so that we understand that no matter what happens, it is not God punishing us. When we work on our faith so that we understand that no matter what happens, God still loves us. When we work on our faith so that we understand that no matter what the future holds, God is still in charge. Love is still stronger than hate. And eventually, good wins. Then it allows us to deal with all of the unpredictability we see. When we go out into the world and we see so many horrible things happening, we see so much injustice in the world, we see so many horrible tragedies, we see so many things, we wonder what's going on. Before that happens, we have to be solidly rooted in understanding that is not a sign that God is not in control. It is not a sign that God doesn't love these people or God doesn't love earth or whatever. We need to first be rooted in our faith so that we can act. So that we can ask the question, okay, in light of what we know, now what do we do? Football camp started. I think the first preseason game was over the weekend. What I always love about football players and what they're taught is this one little phrase that defenders are taught. Read and react. Read and react. Okay? You don't know, right? If you're playing defense in football, you don't know what the other team's going to do. So their job is to have thought through possibilities, but you don't know what they're going to throw at you. And then they say, read and react. We have to go into life with that same level of preparation. We have to sit there and say, okay, what is it? What is it that we need to be solidly grounded in so that as we wake up and we see the situations that life has thrown us for the day, we are able to read the situation, know what God wants us to do because we've been studying God's word, we've been figuring it out, and then act. Are you prepared for tomorrow in that way? Are you prepared for tomorrow no matter what tomorrow throws at you? Or are you only prepared for a certain very limited set of things that might happen? Because if you're only prepared in a very narrow sense, then someday, and we don't know when, life is going to knock you off your axis. But if you prepare the right way, if you prepare grounded in faith, grounded in morals, grounded in what God would have us do, grounded in the confidence that we labor in the service of God, knowing that love wins in the end. Then we wake up tomorrow, we read the situation, and even though it may not be what we were expecting, we act. Amen.